live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 196. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, and as always, my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif and Crossroads listening audience, man. How are you? How's everybody doing, man? I'm doing just fine, man. And I know we got a lot to talk about tonight, so let dude just give us the rundown, man.
Absolutely. We've got NFL playoffs. Wild card weekend was anything but wild weekend, it seemed like, with most of the games. But we have NFL playoffs to talk. Quick recaps over the wild card games that we had. Then we're going to be talking the NFL divisional round games this weekend. A whole slate of games, possibly, looking back, this might be the best slate of divisional games that's been here in a while, of a consistency of four games. So we've got that to talk about, some off-season news and notes here, coaches and more. We've got the NBA, the Indiana Pacers, trade deadline, trade rumors are heating up. We've got them talking. We've got NBA news and notes. We've got the Hoosiers. We've got the Boilermakers playing tomorrow night down in Bloomington. We've got that to talk a little bit more. Taking your calls as well this evening. And some college a little bit of things in college basketball. And then, so a busy night ahead of us.
Yeah, like I said, man, you know what I'm saying? We probably just need to start off where everything's kind of hot. So this is kind of recap the wild card from this past weekend, and we kind of go from there.
Yeah, we're definitely going to – we'll get to that in a moment. We both had some things this week that have been crazy enough. I ain't going to beat around the bush. I'm gonna call it out, and if they're listening, I invited them to come on, call in, get that Southern Florida, call in a little bit more. But the Canes talk. This Miami Hurricanes, I tell you what, John, this might be one of the most delusional fan bases I've ever seen in college football. I was on Twitter Spaces last night, and just, you know, I go in and out of different Twitter Spaces, people talking, and last night they had Canes talk. And you had Big Daddy Kane, you had Danny Boy Kane, you had Canaan Knights, you had all these 24/7 recruiting Canes talking about the NIL and how they were paying these players, and they're going to pay every single player, and they're going to get the best ones. And John, you realize I sent you a text last night late because I was listening to it. I couldn't get off of it. I was on there for an hour. You realize that they think they are one player away down in the U from being in that college football playoff next year. One player.
That's again, man. I know you invited some folks to come on. Hopefully they call in. Hopefully, you know, they're listening in and whatnot. They're going to need more than one player to get into the college football playoff. They need more than one player to get past Wake Forest. And that's no disrespect, you know what I'm saying, to that particular program. As when I look at the power structure that is the ACC football, Miami is a name that, you know what I'm saying, that athletes want to attend to, that, you know what I'm saying, they for sure can get you to the next level when you think about recruiting. But as far as anything – As far as them like contending for anything outside of maybe a division, you know what I'm saying, that one of their divisions they have in ACC, they're far away from the college playoff football, playoff for darn sure.
They're the third, or they might be even the, and they got pissed at me for this last night. I said they're probably the best team in that state. I've called every name in the book.
So you saying UCF? You saying UCF is better than them?
I say UCF is better than them. Hell, you want to put them at five? Maybe Florida Atlantic will beat them. I mean,
Down
the block. But I mean, Florida State, and we get to see Florida State Miami next year. That game's back on, so we get to see that. Definitely Florida is better than them. Hell, you might even put Jacksonville State. Maybe be better. No, I'll give you that. But man, I was in it last night, deep with the Canes talk. And
really,
I just went back and forth with them. Like, how delusional they think they are. Like, one player away from college. This, we ain't talking, like, SEC, like, close. You're, like, ACC, maybe third, fourth, fifth, fifth.
Right. Does anybody need to remind them of the Alabama game, how that fared for them? Game one this past particular year. Yeah.
When so they got top wide receiver, number one wide receiver coming out of Texas that's supposed to be going to Miami. The thing for them is they got to keep their quarterback healthy. Derek King couldn't stay upright, and he kept getting hurt. So, Miami Hurricanes fans, let's just pump the brakes. I like the U. Nobody wants the U to get back to normal than me. Ray Lewis, Michael Holmes, Warren Sapp, Willis McGahee, Ken Dorsey, Larry Coker, R.I.P. Larry Coker. But
right. Let's
just pump the brakes. It's going to take a little time before the U even, you know, gets back to where it is. So I had to start off with that, John. By the way, go Canes. Anybody that came on there and started talking Canes recruiting and Canes trying to build a new stadium and how they want to get a train to go out and take students to the games, every person at the end of their comment was, go Canes, go Canes, go Canes.
Mm.
Okay. So we had that. I had that. And then yesterday, John, your feud, I guess your ongoing feud with Mr. Dan Dockich, and I think I may have a little audio clip.
A simple question. The Josh Allen, seventh pick in the 2018 draft. Want to know who the Colts took sixth? Three foolish men. The majority of NFL analysts and sports pundits this year said Josh couldn't play because he went to a small school. I never said that. Dan out here, attention-seeking. Mission accomplished. Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
So, John, your rebuttal to Mr. Dockich from yesterday
radio. At some point, man, we got to, you know what I'm saying, get a meeting of the minds, you know what I'm saying, either on his show or my show. He won't answer his phone when I call, you know what I'm saying. I haven't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, gave him an invitation. I know he knows who I am, you know what I'm saying. As he changed his voice inflection and, you know what I'm saying, I'm the professor of you know what I'm saying, sometimes call that of sports, you know what I'm saying, how I look at it and how I analyze things, man. So I know he knows who I am. But like, no, man. So, you know, he tries to be a smart ass. I'm not trying to say I don't either. But he was just being a smart ass about, you know what I'm saying like, because everybody, even our homie JMV, who kind of, you know what I'm saying, took the umption with me, saying, you know what I mean, like, about the fact that Quentin Nelson is a free agent and, like, what are we going to pay, like, as far as the Colts are concerned, what are they going to pay Quentin Nelson to stay, or do they let him go or whatever? So that's kind of, there's the answer. That's what the Colts took with pick six in that particular draft. They took Quentin Nelson. That's also with the idea that Andrew Luck, they needed to build up the line to help protect Andrew Luck, who had, I think at that, I don't have the stats in front of me, he was like the second most, I think Cam was the worst quarterback for quarterback sacks. I think Andrew Luck was second, you know what I'm saying, as far as winning quarterbacks who had took a pounding. So they were, the Colts were, at that point, were trying to build up the line as far, and hell, like I said, everybody knows Quentin Nelson was the best offensive lineman in that particular draft. Hell, he's probably the best offensive lineman to come out of the draft in the last 4 years, you know what I'm saying, that is what it is. So again, uh-huh. Yeah, did Josh Allen go, you know what I'm saying, did they pick Quentin Nelson above Josh Allen? Yes. Does that seem crazy now? Yes. Damn, Baker Mayfield went number one. So what does that say about Cleveland? You know what I mean? So, but the deal was, and I told him, and even the foolhardy heads he had on his show said, well, I don't know about, everybody said it. I don't know about, and I mean, not me, you know what I'm saying? I look at it a little bit more. You got to look and see if guys can play, how fast they get the ball out, and all that thing as far as quarterback stuff. Like, they said he went to a small school and that he wouldn't be able to play in the NFL. He went to Wyoming, and everybody questioned, from the athletic on down, you know what I'm saying? They questioned ESPN, they questioned, could Josh Allen play in the NFL? The same questions came up with our good buddy with the Jets, the quarterback from the Jets, because he played for BYU. Oh, is he ever going to be able to? Man, you know, if you see like, dude, believe what your eyes see, not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, if they played Southern Illinois or, you know what I'm saying, believe what your eyes see. Do you think the guy can play or not? So that's where that kind of all started. I answered Mr. Doctor's question. He decided to, you know what I'm saying, go with name-calling, calling me an idiot. I mean, it's not the first time, right?
First time.
It probably won't be the last. But, you know what I'm saying, at some point.
Just stop.
Right, there you go. At some point, me and Doctors are going to have a meeting of the minds. And when that happens, he's probably going to get put in his place. I mean, he's been put in his place before by the general. So, I mean, it'll just be another guy smarter than him putting him in his place. There you go.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
So we've got that sound right now that I can use whenever about you just being an idiot. So I've got that ready whenever I need to throw it out there. All right, John, speaking of idiots, I have on my list here, I've got to play the sound because we always play it NFL playoff time. The bagpipes are playing. Damn, I know, right? Bagpipes, this was supposed to be the year. This was supposed to be the year. You got your quarterback back. You win the NFC East. You're going to go to the Super Bowl. You've got a healthy team. You've got it all. And you fall flat on your ass. The Cowboys lose to the 49ers. 12 seconds to go, you run a QB draw with no timeouts up the middle of the field for 25 yards. And then you can't snap the damn ball in time. Or another play.
Right.
Everybody knows in the NFL, and everybody, if you pay attention to college or the NFL, it takes 14 seconds from snap to snap that you have to let the referee touch the ball before it can be put in play. And the fact that
right.
the Cowboys can't do it, you got you've got Mike McCarthy calling the play, or Kellen Moore calling the play, McCarthy backing it up, and Dak doesn't have the audacity to option out of it. Or even just take a kneel even a little quicker. Oh, John, this Cowboys team, and I talked to you on the phone after the game, this Dallas Cowboys team does not have the makeup of a championship team based on characters,
right.
based on stupid penalties, people not giving a shit. Randy Gregory getting three penalties I saw, and he was just laughing about it the whole time.
Right.
That's not the type of makeup a team has to win a championship.
Right. That ought to be the frustrating thing for them and as a locker room and as a coaching staff and as a fan base, right? I put those in that particular order for a reason. That ought to be frustrating. But they have enough. They navigated the entire season and went 12-5. They went undefeated in their division, right? Whatever anybody thinks about the division, that still is. We are still talking about big man tackle football. So, you know what I'm saying? The Philadelphia Eagles are trying. The Giants are trying. So is the Washington football team. They're trying. But, again, Dallas is just heads and heels, you know what I'm saying, over better than them. So, yeah, like I said, 12-5. And then so you essentially build a team that can navigate and stay healthy, right? That too, right? Because I think Dak only maybe missed one game or something like that, or something. You know what I mean? Missed coming off the injury,
nothing like serious.
Right, right. So you built a team that can definitely navigate and win in the regular season, and then you have this. Now, here's the thing: like, you know what that old saying says? I think Rex Ryan always says, "Man, like whatever issues you have through the regular season will ultimately show up." In critical points of a game. If you think about like parallel, think about how the Colts flamed out. How the Colts flamed out is when Carson Wentz seemed ill prepared, and that was kind of like the whole season felt like of the Colts. Even the defense, you know what I'm saying, kind of seemed ill prepared. Well, guess what, Brandon? You mentioned the penalties. They're also in the top five of penalties throughout the season.
14 penalties, 9 on defense. In that game,
as much as we love Diggs and what he's able to do, as far as I think he led the league in interceptions with 11 of defense, you know, from that position. Again, he mental errors. That's kind of what broke. You know, what I'm saying it was a disastrous for him. They still had an opportunity, even with the bad. I mean, my goodness, Brandon, I can go around the world with the Dallas Cowboys and what happened, you know what I'm saying, with the penalties. But even with all that, they still were, had the opportunity to win the game, because on the other side, you got Garoppolo, who the San Francisco 49ers, they like, they don't love, and they're probably, you know what I'm saying, they're going to push him out the door, to be honest with you, you know what I'm saying. Unless they get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, they're pushing him out the door, because he almost gift-wrapped it for the Dallas Cowboys to come back and win, right? So I look at it from an offense. The Dallas Cowboys are an offensive-minded team. I think that's their strength, right? Quarterback, running back, wideouts, right? Here's what's kooky, Brandon. So if we look at it, go back and look at the tape, anybody. 49ers are rushing four. They're bringing pressure, they're constantly bringing pressure. I mean, that's like, you want to call it a blitz, a soft blitz or whatever, but they're constantly bringing four guys to basically, you know what I'm saying, to converge on Dak. Why is CeeDee Lamb one-on-one open like 85% of the time? You see what I'm saying? So again, they underutilize their weapons. I mean, the running game out of Ezekiel Elliott, the running game out of Ezekiel Elliott wasn't, you know, since it wasn't great. But again, you have a thunder and lightning type of duel. So you know what I'm saying? Why did he use Pollard in some rushing? It's just a head scratcher. And then when you talk about head scratcher and you talk about design and play, that kind of points back to the coach, right? You know what I mean? Yep. Like penalties. So again, I don't, you know, Jerry Jones is about as, you know, he's as forgiving as the Pope, right? Or Jim Irsay, right? So I don't, the Mike McCarthy's not going to get fired or anything like that, but there needs to be like, dude, they get, if, like anybody would want to have, any fan would want to have that team, you know what I'm saying, regardless of the offensive line being beat up or whatever, or regardless of the defense, you know what I'm saying, being super, you know, being heavy in the penalties, you know, yellow flags, right? But you would want to have that team represent you, you know what I'm saying, you want to cheer for. And they didn't do – and they just came into that game ill-prepared for – in a home game. In a home
game. John, they flat out embarrassed. And
right.
I think it came out today. Mike McCarthy had a press conference today. And this is more concerning. We talk about the coach. Coach not prepared, right? This was an exact quote from Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy described the Cowboys as being, quote, nervous entering their playoff game, saying he sensed it during the pregame prayer and felt it inhibited them early in the loss. If you can't get your team, they pissed down their leg. That's all that's saying. Dallas Cowboys went into a playoff game. You're supposed to be this magical America's team, high-profile organization, and they pissed down their leg in a wild card game, John. And
right,
if you're going in nervous and your head coach can't get you, or are you nervous because – here's another thing. Are the players nervous because they know that their head coach is in over his head? I mean, besides – one Super Bowl that Aaron Rodgers carried your ass to, what has Mike McCarthy done? What has he done?
Well,
what improvement did Mike McCarthy show this year to this Dallas Cowboys team? Hell, if anything, you put Dan Quinn in there, because the fact that he at least showed some improvement with that Cowboys defense. But
right.
It came down to Shanahan, who was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, versus Dan Quinn, who was the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. Shanahan figured it out. There was no adjustments. Offensively, could you put Kellen Moore on the blame? Do you put Mike McCarthy? I put McCarthy at the head of the blame there, that his team was nervous. They pissed down their leg and the horrible play calling.
Right. But right, they should have been nervous. I can see them being cocky, but you have to, again, like, I mean, I'm pointing the fingers at, back to the head. You have to know that, okay, two penalties, dude. You know what, Brandon? Tell me if I'm right or wrong. You watch the game against Tom Brady, or you know what I'm saying, opposing team against Tom Brady. He takes advantages of anybody, you know what I'm saying, when you get penalized. Two penalties that could cost you the game. They had – I lost track. I think it was like seven for the whole game. You know what I'm saying? Seven penalties on the you know what I'm saying, from the false start to the illegal – sorry, hands to the face, you know what I'm saying, to – to Neutrogena infractions, man. You know, you name it, they had. So, like, again, you know, I get it. They were, you know, saying Micah Parsons, you know, saying rookie, he was trying to time so they could get to the court. I get it. The game plan was to put pressure on Garoppolo so that he would have make a bad throw. But, like, what did it net you?
Right.
After all the penalties that you had, what did it net you? So again, man, I kind of put, you know what I'm saying, you do put of the leader of that particular team. And I know Dak took a lot of heat from it, or took a lot of heat back with the press and whatnot. But I would say that, especially with that, I don't know what he was thinking. I think he was thinking he was playing, and I'm talking about the last play of the game, I think he was thinking like he had more time. But that was a horrible call. That was a horrible call. If he audibled that, that was horrible. If that was dialed up by the offensive line coach, I'm not, or the, you know what I'm saying, the booth, that was a horrible call. You know what I mean? Because again, you had gotten, you know what I'm saying, some rhythm throwing it, because like the full ass San Francisco 49ers was giving you, you know what I'm saying, the sideline, which was crazy in itself. But then you go down the middle. So like either you had to, you had to go for it all right there and like know that you, but like offense, you're asking your offensive linemen to catch up to you off athletic defensive backs. This is not Madden 2022. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't happen. That's not real. That's not realistic, though. So again, man, they're not gonna never say who made that particular call, Brandon. But so again, we have to point the finger back to the head coach, and that's where I think the blame lies at.
Yep, absolutely. To put a bow on the Cowboys side of it, nothing's gonna happen to Mike McCarthy. Jerry is content with their 11-12 wins they had this year in an NFC East title. And then next year they'll go into the season, and if Dallas somehow pisses the bed again, I guess, in the wild card game, then there might be a change. But I think McCarthy's safe. They're going to be happy with their 11-12 wins and their NFC East title. Looking on the other side, 49ers, nobody really gave them a chance, right? I mean, they were plus what? I think they were plus 4.5 in this game, or plus 3.5. Mm-hmm. Came out there, great game plan. My God, the running game for them was ecstatic. The passing game, the Debo, they played reckless abandon. Bosa in the backfield. Like you said, Jimmy G tried to give it away there towards the end with some of their play calling. You know, you just need a fourth and inches, and then you get two penalties, false starts on your team mm-hmm. there. Frustrating, but hey, 49ers find a way. They advance that second round now, and they get a Green Bay Packers team on a Saturday night, John. That's going to be 15 degrees up in Lambeau. chance of snow. Cowboys or Packers right now are -6 in the game. -6. Mm-hmm. I think the Pack win, but I can see San Francisco and that defense keeping it within that 6. I like Pack to win, but I think San Francisco keeps it close.
Yeah, so for betting purposes, I can see where you can say that. I think Jimmy G turns it over more than once going into Green Bay. I don't necessarily see, like I said, I don't foresee a blowout given the weather conditions. You say six. I think it's more like 10. You know what I mean? I don't know if the health status of Bosa. They were able to, the good thing that the San Francisco 49ers have going for them is that even when Bosa went out, they still were physical. They still, you know what I'm saying, were laying a lot of wood out there, stopping the run of the Dallas Cowboys. And then offensively, they were able, Debo Samuelson. I know I jacked up his name, but yeah, he was, you know what I'm saying, if he was probably their MVP, or should have been, of that particular game, you know what I'm saying, the stats he put up. But again, you know what I'm saying, you're going into another Lions den when you're talking about going into the icy tundra and, you know, all the legend that is the Green Bay Packers. That team is on a redemption, you know what I'm saying, emotional high, than their damn self. So, I Brandon, you know, 6 points, I say they win by double digits. And you know what I'm saying, this would be a good night kiss for, you know what I'm saying, the 49ers.
Okay. Other one we had, Bills-Patriots. John, the Patriots just rolled over and let the Bills pet their belly. A complete ass whooping is the only way to put it. They scored all 7 possessions up in Buffalo against the Patriots. Mac Jones, yep. they looked like a totally different team than we saw all season long.
Yep. Revenge game. You know what I'm saying? Want to exercise some demons that the Buffalo Bills had incurred throughout the season and didn't want to have a letdown again versus the New England Patriots without Tom Brady, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Ran up to, you know what I'm saying? What is Josh Allen have like four touchdowns, something crazy. I think it was five. You know what I'm saying? The future's still bright. You know what I'm saying? When you think about the New England Patriots, next year Mac Jones will have one more year he'll have one more year under, of his belt. You know what I'm saying? Being leader of this team, face of the offense. Who knows what they'll bring in as far as you know what I'm saying, help. You know what I'm saying? Going into the draft or whatever. But you kind of have to like Buffalo Bills next week. And I know we're talking about Kansas City, and you kind of had to like what they put together offensively. They had their moments of question throughout the season, especially when they lost to Jacksonville, right? And even when you know what I'm saying, the Colts put a little spanking on them, right? But like new dude, they're back to, you know what I'm saying, where everybody kind of thought they would be at, and I think all teams that's still in the playoffs should be have their ears up, because if they get past Kansas City, it's gonna be real bad for anybody in the AFC.
Yeah, so we both said last week in our predictions that we took Buffalo over New England. I said New England, I felt with them and Mac Jones was there a year earlier than we expected them to be.
Right.
So with that, it was a total shock. I think it was just the amount of how bad they got beat. That's the total shock with that. So Buffalo's rolling right now. They're advancing to the next round. Not much to say there. I have a note down that Colin Cowherd that said that he believes that the Pats and Belichick could move on from Mac Jones. I don't see it happening for at least 3 to 4 years. If that's even the case at all, the kid had a good season. You can't just do one playoff game and they're in the cold. Then just say, yeah, I need to find a veteran in here. That's not the way it is. They're developed their quarterback, with Mac. And, I think he's at least there for another 3 or 4 years, if not five. And then I say, if after 3 years, 4 years, you're not seeing the results you need, then at that point you can turn away from him and look somewhere else. So, Cowherd's report, I don't see it. So,
that was just the Bills, you know what I'm saying, one to, you know what I'm saying, exercise some demons.
Yep. So looking at the other game we had, interesting game, Bengals and Raiders, John, in Cincinnati. A lot of weird officiating in this game. and then the Phantom whistle blow that the referee said it came after the play, which is bullshit because we all saw with our eyes that it was in the middle of the play. The Raiders stopped playing, scored a touchdown. Yeah, it was the second quarter, plenty of other stuff to go on in that game, but the Raiders ended up losing by 7. So it really kind of costed them if you think about it. But Bengals win. Bengals played well, John. They've advanced.
The curse was over.
The curse was over, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know it was the curse.
Oh, yeah, I've watched a video of it previously, so I kind of had an idea. But that Jerome Broger and his refereeing crew are not officiating the rest of the season. So that's basically the NFL
right.
saying, you effed up so bad that we're done.
Yeah, my recap of the Raiders and Bengals, obviously, you know what I'm saying, I was incorrect. I took the Raiders. I thought they were both teams were hot going into the playoffs. I thought the Raiders had a little bit more to prove. Especially with the, you know what I'm saying, you alluded to, you know what I'm saying, in the last segment that New England and Mac Jones was a little ahead of schedule. I thought the Bengals were just a little ahead of schedule. I didn't really have them winning the North Division, the AFC North Division, but here we are, and here they are. So you kind of got to like the efficiency that the offense put together against the Raiders. I think they scored on the first four times that they had the ball. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, those are names that you know. You know what I'm saying? Those are going to be names that everybody needs to kind of get familiar with going further. The Raiders had their chances, Brandon. The Raiders had their chances. They set up for 3 field goals when they had their chances. You know what I'm saying? And that might win you a game in the regular season, but You know, I'm not saying by any realm of the imagination you go for it on fourth and one and you got, you know what I'm saying, 7 yards to go, you know what I mean? But because you have to take points whenever you can, but they just weren't as efficient as the Bengals in the first half. And then that kind of but again, even with the referees and the quirky, you know what I'm saying, play calling that they had, they still had a puncher's chance, you know what I'm saying, to get into the end zone and to potentially, you know what I'm saying, win the game, tie the game, right? So, and there you go with, you know what I'm saying, Jeremy Pratt, you know what I'm saying, they bring pressure, Pratt gets an interception, it's game over. So, you got to tip your hat. Again, I took the Raiders, I was wrong. I'm big enough man to admit that when I was wrong. You got to tip your hat to the Bengals. They are far, far ahead of schedule. The curse is broken. They haven't won a playoff game in over 30 years. And I tapped in Brandon. Here's what I did. I tapped into some Cincinnati radio this past couple of days to see what their thoughts are. Dude, they're thinking that they're going to beat Tennessee, and not necessarily going to be tough, but they, you know, saying they're thinking Derrick Henry's going to be a little rusty. They're thinking Tannehill is not as good as their quarterback, which I don't think he is, but he is a bet. So, and they're thinking that Joe Burrow can throw over that defense, and they feel like they can overcome and get to the AFC Championship game. Man, I can't refute any of that. You know what I'm saying? When I put my eyes and ears on it, right? It would be concerning. Like I said, what caused you pain and what caused you, your team, to suffer through the regular season will eventually show itself in the postseason. So, dude, they got to, when I say that, they got to protect Joe Burrow. They have to. The offensive line, you know, that offensive line, like they did a good job, a decent job, I'll say, against the Raiders. But again, we're leveling up. I guarantee you, the Tennessee Titans are going to test them. And if they get two or three hits on Joe Burrow, that's not what you want. They need Joe Burrow clean for the entirety of the game. So again, I know we haven't done predictions just yet. I just know it's going to be a little bit harder task than beating the Raiders. It's going to be Tennessee.
Yeah. Looking at the matchup, Titans 3.5-point favorites at home against the Bengals, as we expected. Derrick Henry's back. He took a month, 2 months off, I think it was, John. They said if they needed him in week 18, he was able to play. I saw a picture of Derrick Henry. I'm not saying the dude takes HGH, but he looks bigger than he was during the regular season, John. I just saw a picture today as I was reading up on it. He looks bigger. AJ Brown's back. I'm not sure if Julio's going to be back in time or not for this game, but 3.5-point favorites, Tennessee at home. Everybody wants that feel good story of the Bengals, and yeah, they're here. Nobody expected them to be where they're at right now. I mean, they're coming off of what, a two win game or a season last year, or three games last year. Joe Burrow coming off an injury, you didn't expect them to be this far. So they're playing with house money with reckless abandon, but Tennessee's been the good team all season long. I just think that Tennessee finds a way, wins this game. They may win by six or so. I'm thinking like maybe 24-20 or so. They cover that 3.5 there. I think Tennessee gets the win over Cincinnati this Saturday.
I think it's going to be close, and I think that's why the line says it as much. I do like Tennessee just because they're going to be the fresher team. The Bengals, they really fed off that crowd. That was, you know what I'm saying, that crowd was loving, you know what I'm saying, what they put together. They still let, I mean, with all the bungling, they still left the door open kind of for the Raiders to win that game. You leave the door open for the Tennessee Titans, they're going to take it. They're going to run with it. No pun intended to what Derrick Henry could potentially do to your team. You know what I'm saying? If the defense doesn't curb, and they haven't been known to be great against the run, the defense can't, you got to get Derrick Henry to go, you know what I'm saying, side to side. You can't let him get north to south. If you get north to south, it's going to be a tough day for you all day. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, if you give me asking permission, I got to go with Tennessee just because they are here for this moment. They're wanting to get to play to the next potential. I mean, they ain't trying to get to the AFC Championship. They're trying to get to the Super Bowl, right? Yes. They've shown a lot of grit over this past particular season, losing their star player. He's back now. I think the same kind of energy that Cincinnati had and fed off of where they were home, I think Tennessee does the same thing. I have to give a nod to the Tennessee Titans.
Yep. Going to look at the other couple last three wild card games. Chiefs, Steelers, John. I put a little money just to see if you could shock the world. You had to put a little something on. The odds were amazing. But Steelers held the Chiefs well in the first quarter. Got a nice interception for a touchdown with T.J. Watt and them. Yep. So they were wrecking it, a fumble into a touchdown. Steelers got great first quarter. You know, it's that offense. It killed. And everybody knew it was a matter of time before Kansas City was going to start clicking, start getting it together, playing Kansas City Chiefs football. You knew it was over towards the end of the second quarter when Pittsburgh had to punt. They left too much time on the clock. Chiefs went down, scored. When ball went back to Pittsburgh, nothing. And then Chiefs scored again, and then they got the ball to start the second half. That was pretty much a wrap on that. But it was as expected in Kansas City with these two teams. Kansas City finally got the way to start clicking. You can't do that when you play Buffalo, John. You can't go a whole quarter in a playoff game against a good team like Buffalo and not click.
Right.
They found out a lot earlier this season when they played Buffalo there. But Steelers, Chiefs, it was, as you said, my Steelers, the season's over. His final game. He did throw a couple touchdowns. They did made it respectful, I guess. They lost by 21, 42-21. He threw a couple, three picks, one interception and three touchdowns. Tomlin says, the Steelers, all options are open for the quarterback position. Then there's a report that they may go after Kenny Pickett. They get the player in the draft. They get Rudolph and Haskins, and Pickett, they've been talking with him and seen him already because they share the same facility. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so, going to the future, so again, it wasn't necessarily a terrible game. Big Ben played. It's just that you're kind of just outmatched, saying, and what the offense of Kansas City is able to do to teams when they get, their mind going in the right direction, right? As far as the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers is concerned, you still have great pieces on the defensive, on the defensive side of the ball. T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year, come on, man. You just kind of, in the latter rounds of the draft, you continue to support that. I don't know what has to – I don't know what necessarily happens with Schuster in the offseason. Didn't he only sign like a 1 year?
A 1 year deal.
I thought you do like what you have with Najee Harris, right? But ultimately, yes, they do need a quarterback. There is going to be wherever the Pittsburgh Steelers will be selecting that is later part of the first round. There's going to be some names either. I'll be honest with you. They got to fix the offensive line too, right?
Yeah.
So if you pick a quarterback, let's say they say Pickett does somehow fall into their laps, or even what's my guy from Cincinnati.
Ritter.
Yeah, even if he kind of falls into their laps, or even the other kid from North Carolina, who's a little bit shorter as far as NBA standards, I'm sorry, NFL standards is concerned, but that dude can get the ball out and he can throw it, right? So I'm bringing in a quarterback, but if I'm the general manager, we would also have to look at I know what I said about defense, but we also have to look at the offensive line. That line needs to be repaired. You want your quarterback to grow with the offensive line. Whether it's center, left tackle, whatever you want to bring in. But again, the six rounds in the draft. In your wildest wet dream, you thought you think about Aaron Rodgers kind of coming over, or maybe even Russell Wilson coming over. But again, man, that's not necessarily the Pittsburgh Steelers' way to get somebody else built. They kind of build their own. you know, they kind of build through their own and through the ranks or whatever. So it's going to be an interesting offseason for them. Whoever they select, you know, that guy is going to it's got the potential to pan out. They don't have too many. If you think about it, they don't have too many flames out. You know what I mean? They might have some guys that kind of, you know what I'm saying, go off and do their own thing. You know what I'm saying? We talk about Antonio Brown, right? But for the most part, you know what I'm saying, anybody people are still bringing to the organization, they don't have any duds, right? So, but like I said, man, I would quarterback, and then you look at the line, and then you kind of go, you know your coach is solid. You know he's golden probably for another two or three seasons. That he wants to be there or wants to coach. I don't want to say he wants to be there, but wants to coach. And then away you go. But like I said, I think it's going to be an interesting offseason for them. And we'll probably break it down a little bit further.
Yeah, they've got a lot of movement, obviously, with the quarterback position as well as, you know, John, we talked about the offensive line. There's a report today that they want to kind of go mobile with the quarterback position a little bit more this year. There's a problem with the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. The offense digressed this year based off of rankings from last year. It got worse. Tomlin wouldn't say. He said there would be some changes and some things moving forward. They would assess everything, so that's including the offensive coordinator position. So it could be where Matt Canada might be gone, which I think needs to, because the guy's the king of slants and screen passes. That's basically his offense. So you got to believe, you know, Tomlin's in these years now where he's not going to sit there and let, you know, if a coordinator's sucking, I don't think he's going to let it be. Defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, not sure if he's going to be coming back next year. He's been contemplating retirement. So I don't know if he's going to retire or not. I think he'll be back one more year at least, basically off of how the year that TJ Watt had. Joe Hayden's a free agent this year. I don't see them paying him. Unless he goes, takes it on the cheap. And the biggest thing is the Steelers general manager, Kevin Colbert, John, his contract runs up at the end of the season, basically at the end of the Super Bowl, but he is going to stay on with the team through the draft. And then the Steelers will get a new general manager. If you look at you talk about GMs, right? GMs and head coaches throughout the league, how much they change with every organization. The Steelers, Kevin Colbert's been with the Steelers for the last 22 years. He went there in 2000. So Steelers are going to be getting a new GM after this draft coming up. So that's another changing the guard. New quarterback, new GM. You know, Tomlin's staying through all this. And Mike Tomlin has another winning season, John. Just continues to click. And he'll assess. And we'll see what happens with the Steelers next year, what quarterback we get and where we go. We are coming to Indianapolis, though. The schedule, kind of, you saw the opponents you play next year, and we are coming to Indy, so I will be at that game. Looking forward to that. Can't wait for that. Real quick, I want to preview this, going through a little bit. Bills and Chiefs, John, they played earlier this season, week five. Bills won in Kansas City, 38-20. Josh Allen threw for 315 yards and three touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Patty Mahomes, 272. Two touchdowns, two interceptions, two sacks. Mahomes was the leading rusher with 61 yards. Dawson Knox had three catches for 117 yards and a touchdown for Buffalo. Knox had a hell of a game against the Patriots, just kicking their ass up and down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Call me crazy, John. I know we did our predictions last week and we put them on the Facebook, and we both said Kansas City versus Green Bay. John, I like Buffalo in this game again. I do.
I know. It looks good. Again, you know, the hottest. They seem to be the hottest team. They seem the most. They seem to be the most focused team right now because, you know, saying all eyes are on them now, right? Buffalo and people have just kind of just not considered them for anything, especially and when you know things went sour for them in the regular season, people continued to dismiss them. Kansas City, you know, bounce back. I like the way they have been able to run the ball. They've been able to protect Patrick Mahomes a little bit better. It's going to be tough. It's going to be – going back to Kansas City, like, dude, remember what you say, Brandon. It's hard to beat a team twice, right? Definitely hard to beat a team a third time, but definitely hard to beat a team twice. and I don't think they won't be. I'm giving my pick right now. Buffalo will not beat the Chiefs the exact same way that they beat them earlier on in the season. You know, but if it comes down to a shootout, right, that favors Kansas City. So, I'm picking the Chiefs. Without a doubt, future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes got to get back to the Super Bowl. You know, as long as they keep him clean and keep him upright, you know what I'm saying? The Colts are stuck with their left tackle for the foreseeable future, right? Eric Fisher. So they've kind of corrected, you know what I'm saying, what would need to be corrected as far as line protection for the rest of the season. So I like the Chiefs. I'm not saying, but like, what's the line? Is it how many points?
So Kansas City opened up -2.5, and already for the first 2 days of the week, the line's already down to 1.5, which means Vegas big bettors are putting money on Buffalo. So it's now Chiefs -1.5.
Yeah, I mean, that I couldn't disagree with that at all, man. I think you might even be looking at 28-27 type of game. A thriller. But again, like I said, I'm going with the Chiefs, and I'm going because ultimately I think even though Buffalo seems to be the hotter team, the more focused team, I like Kansas City. Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, had a letdown against Cincinnati in the regular season closer. But the hell, even that game, they were right there. So when they are more focused, they have a Super Bowl. They've been there, done that type of feel to them. So I think they turn that on.
Okay. Last two games, Buccaneers and Eagles. John, Eagles didn't have a chance in this. Tampa just whooped that ass throughout the entire way. I don't have much to say about this game. Tampa did.
Our guy, man. He, you know what I'm saying? They named him the quarterback for the future for the foreseeable future. So that was mean with their first. Jalen Hurts with their first three picks in the first round, they'll be picking a quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised that in the latter rounds they do pick up a quarterback. I really don't. He had some consistent, that was a bad throw. He had those moments in a playoff game, and that's what you can't have. They also, and not that he obviously the quarterback shoulders the brunt of the offense, but man, they forgot to run the ball somehow against Tampa Bay. And then, you know, so you give Tom Brady enough chances to bite the apple, man, you ain't going to have nothing but a core afterwards, man. So, you know, saying DeGrom get into it, did Mike Evans get into it, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know what I'm saying, touchdowns and big yards, absolutely. But, yeah, they didn't, you know what I'm saying, they just seemed, you know what I'm saying, the Philadelphia Eagles seemed really overmatched and against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely. Tampa, they played the winner of Arizona and the Rams, who met for the third time previously. The road teams won both times earlier this season. And, John, I had to flip my eyes because it looked like I couldn't tell if it was Kyler Murray or Carson Wentz in that backfield
with the
interception that just broke the back for the Cardinals. Yeah. And I told you, John, what I tell you all season, you can't trust the Cardinals. I don't trust them. I did not trust them. I told you that, you know, we kept talking about it all year, and you kept teasing me about the Cardinals, even though they're in first place. Can't trust them in the playoffs. Can't trust that coach. Can't trust that quarterback. They never made any adjustments. And Arizona Cardinals pissed on their leg. The best team won there with the best players. Team of Destiny, you like to call them. The Team of Destiny, the Rams. Stafford got that monkey off his back getting that first win. Rams look good, John. They got a big one this week going to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and this is – so, again, I go back over what they lost. They didn't have all their weapons. You know what I'm saying? You had a J.J. Watt out there, you know what I'm saying, trying to hawk them up, trying to rally the defense. You had a quarterback in his first playoff appearance in Kyler Murray. Probably himself a little banged up. They won't admit it. But because we still taped them up, taped up their leg angles and whatnot. He still went out there, and you know what I'm saying, they laid an egg. Running game was null and void, except for the one touchdown they had by Connor. And you know what I'm saying, like I said, he had two interceptions, and only 137 yards. They made Kyler Murray look like a rookie. You know what I'm saying? So it's something they have to. It's something that they have to work on. Something that they'll improve, right, going into the future. But the Rams came with that loaded gun. I hate to use a gun reference, but the Rams came with a loaded gun of, yeah. of, you know what I'm saying, Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. and Cooper Kupp.
Hey, can we admit now finally it wasn't Baker? It wasn't Odell Beckham, it was Baker?
What you mean?
I think we can.
We'll put a pause on this. Is Stafford better than Baker Mayfield, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stafford's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Baker's got some things. Baker Mayfield, it's just reported today, man. He was that banged up. He's going to be out 4 to 6 months. I don't think he's back for the start of next season. Not right at the start. So he was playing hurt all this long. I will give him that excuse. It's hard to play with Odell Beckham Jr. in that mouth. Again, this is the same dude who had the audacity. All credit due to the Rams winning this particular game, and Odell since that buyout trade or whatever, how you want to look at it, got to the Rams. I think he has like 6 or 7 touchdowns in an LA uniform. So again, he's shown some production.
His dad,
but like I said, he's playing with a better team though too. The Rams are a better team. I won't say the Rams are a better team defensively than Cleveland. I think Cleveland and them are right there neck and neck. But offensively, we can definitely say that they're heads and heels. Oh, if you're playing alongside Cooper Kupp, who, hell, man, after week three, people were thinking about Cooper Kupp and MVP considerations, the crazy stats he was putting up, right? So we can say that we can both agree that the Rams are just a little bit better team than Cleveland. But like I said, man, Von Miller came with the sack and 6 tackles his damn self, and like I said, Stafford didn't turn the ball over. And, you know what I'm saying, afterwards he credited the defense, credited special teams, did all those leadership things that needed to be said and done. And you know what I'm saying, they took advantage of and put a whooping on Arizona. I took the Rams. I thought it would be a little bit closer than 34-11, be honest with you. I mean, I didn't think it was – I thought the Cardinals would at least get into the 20s. You know what I'm saying? It's not a surprise that the Rams put up 34, but I thought the Cardinals were at least getting to the 20s. And, you know, again, they had some – Cliff Kingsbury, you said it, Brandon, because I got it right here. He didn't have anything to – he couldn't adjust. He's almost like – he's like, you know what I'm saying, Frank Reich out there. Like, what playing football? You know what I'm saying? Sorry if any Colts fan listening. You know, it is what it is. But he didn't have an adjustment to what they had. You know what I'm saying? They brought a lot of pressure on Kyler Murray. They constantly pressured Kyler Murray. And that's why he had the bad interception, the pick six. So the Rams are on off to play Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers. And the feather in their cap is, you know, they beat them already once. Man, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know what I'm saying, again, it's hard to beat a team twice. You know what I mean? Offensive weapons that he has. So I don't think Fournette's still going to play in next week's game. So Tom Brady, you can't give him no opportunities. And they didn't have that many penalties. The Rams didn't have that many penalties this past game or whatnot. But the thing that sticks in my mind is Stafford playing like the last 5 games was coughing it up. Like, you know what I'm saying, he needed some Robitussin. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully those are some great defensive minds they have in Todd Bowles and in Tampa Bay, man. He can't throw one interception or they'll lose the game. I know that's a lot of pressure, but I'm telling you, if Stafford throws one interception, they'll lose that game, Brandon.
Okay. Bucks are 3-point favorites at home. Which basically means this is a toss-up game between two. Like you said, I want to take the team of destiny to beat the Buccaneers. I like the Rams. I like the makeup of the Rams. I want to take them to beat the team of destiny. But two things. One, I can't go against Tom Terrific. I've always learned you don't go against Tom Terrific. And secondly, it would make it easier for me to go against them if it was reversed. Tampa beat the Rams earlier in the season. The fact that Brady knows, hey, these guys beat us, I think he's going to come out a lot more focused. I think that defense is going to come out a little bit more focused. And I think Arians and that team makes adjustments better than the Rams do throughout. Rams only lost one game this year after leading at halftime. One game. So if they can get the lead at halftime, it looks good for them. But I don't see Brady and the Bucs at home again letting this slip against the Rams. I think it sets up another good match.
Here's what I say, Brandon. The Eagles were able to sack Tom Brady four times. If you had told me before the game that somebody sacked Tom Brady four times, you'd have been like, dude, I know the Tom Brady team lost by two touchdowns, and that didn't happen against the Eagles. Let's say, and we know this, the defense that the Rams has is way better than the Philadelphia Eagles. If they get four sacks, and so long as Stafford doesn't throw an interception, they'll win the game. I'd like the Rams. I'm calling them the team of destiny. At some point, obviously, I don't have them in the Super Bowl, right? But at some point, I think their team of destiny, the team of destiny, you know what I'm saying, trains kind of stops at some point. I don't think it stops this particular weekend. I think they get it done, but Stafford can't throw an interception. He cannot, because if he throws one interception, they lose the game.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
Oh, I couldn't resist. Good analysis. We've got the game Saturday and Sunday. I believe the night game on Saturday night is the Packers up in Cold Lambeau. The night game on Sunday night is Bills Chiefs. So we'll get some two good games. Looking forward to those. And we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to set up for a couple good matchups. I think it's Buffalo. I'm taking Buffalo, Tennessee, and you can go ahead and call it, John. I know a lot of people have said it, and I'll say it myself. Winner of Buffalo and Kansas City, I think, goes to the Super Bowl. I think we're seeing our AFC Championship game this week. I know Tennessee fans are going to be pissed with me saying that. And then on the other side, I think you get Tampa and Green Bay, another rematch up in Lambeau, where I think – the Packers exercise those demons of how last season ended, and they get through the next round. They go to the Super Bowl. Then you have Packers and Chiefs or Bills, and then I think Aaron Rodgers and Packers get the second title overall. So Aaron Rodgers does. So we'll see. John, let's take a couple commercial breaks. When we come back, we'll dive into the association. NBA, and we'll talk a little Indiana Pacers. Get the Pet the Bismol ready, everybody. You're going to need it.
Ooh. You changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I also want to thank our sponsor, Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. As I say, worldwide. They got your custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check out today, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or online at MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. I know y'all are getting ready to get your tax return checks here in about a couple months, so give them a call today. They'll sure appreciate your business.
Oh, man, and we also want to thank our third sponsor, that's Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman Logistics, they're still hiring, Brandon. They're still hiring for drivers, still hiring for warehouse workers. Drivers, no CDL required. There is a drug screen. If you're looking for a job, call this number. I'm just being honest. Call 877-744-6212. That's 877-744-6212. Or hit them up online at wisemanlogistics.com.
All right. Welcome back to the show. John, let's dive into the association. Let's talk Indiana Pacers. Ugh. Looking like shit. I'll just flat out say it. Ever since our little Herb Simon said, I like my little team. Pacers have gone 3-12 since he said that. Herb Simon, who doesn't have a clue what the hell's going on in the game of basketball, doesn't know what's going on in attendance, doesn't know what's going on with fans and Pacer fans not being able to watch the product on TV because of streaming issues. Couple things with this, John, and we'll dive into it several ways. The first way I want to say it, and we talked privately. I know me and you talked on the phone. So the yep. Indiana Pacers and Herb Simon. So Herb Simon is going to be at some point giving up his franchise, and whether he passes, when he passes away or whatnot, God forbid, right? So it's going to go to his parents, excuse me, to his kids, and I can't think of the one son's name that's going to be in charge of it the most, but it's going to be in his name. There is rumors. There is talks that the Indiana Pacers, once it goes to Herbie's son, could sell it to an investor corp, and the Indiana Pacers would leave Indianapolis. And you got Seattle, you've got Las Vegas, you've got some of these other markets that could be getting this Pacers franchise. If the Simons look at this and say, hey, because here's the biggest thing, John, there is a huge inheritance charge fee that's going to go to the younger Simon when Herb dies. He's going to have to put that bill for him to keep that team. Do you think you're not going to sit there and have a group of investors say, hey, you want this team? Let me sell it to you. Then you can do whatever with it. You're last in attendance. Right. You're not getting TV ratings. Nobody can watch your games. Now you're going to have this huge inheritance fee. There, I said it right. There is a chance, and I'm not saying here soon, but there is a chance that the Pacers could be at some point leaving Indianapolis, and there's no Bobby Slick, Leonard, Terrell telethon that's going to keep this team here unless things change. Now, I know the CBA, they've signed the new CBA contract here with the city to expand them out the next 20 years, but they get up and leave whenever and pay the fee, people have been telling me that, oh, well, Gainbridge Fieldhouse has all these other things going on. Okay, that's fine. Gainbridge Fieldhouse can have all these things to enhance the experience. Doesn't mean they won't put more concerts in there. Doesn't mean the Fever won't still be in there. Doesn't mean that they won't move the Indy Fuel hockey team or IUPUI games or anything like that down there. They have places they can use that venue for. I'm just saying it might not be in the next 5 years. It may not be in the next 10 years. But at some point, you got to watch because there is a chance that the younger Simon's going to sell this team and this team ends up leaving Indy. That's the first thing.
Right. Right. So I'm going to tell you right now, in the next 5 years, Las Vegas will have an NBA franchise. With that being said, the Las Vegas traffic, the traffic that you could bring in from a Las Vegas franchise versus what Indianapolis brings in as far as fan traffic would probably triple, and that's probably downplaying it. They would triple their traffic and, like, how many people would come to the game, right? I would assume the CIB, I think that's who's in charge of, divvying out money between the Pacers and the Colts, as it is when it comes to, like, building facilities and whatnot. CIB, like you said, back about three years ago, them and the Pacers signed a new contract or whatever. I would imagine that if any type of movement would, team movement would happen, that Indianapolis would cover its ass, right? So that maybe potentially the name stay here in Indianapolis. And then somehow, some way between the NBA would bless the Pacers. I'm sorry, bless the city of Indianapolis with a new franchise, with a new team. You know what I'm saying? They are hungry. I know. I'm not to pick on Las Vegas. They're just as hungry. They've been wanting the Sonics a new team to come back in Seattle since the Sonics left and went to Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? So again, that's another destination that potentially that a team is going to potentially kind of pop up. There's some things that kind of protect a city from things like this. But it's kind of gloom and doom a little bit when you mention the fact that they are last in attendance and there's no television where people can kind of get to know or see the product. So, like, me and you and a couple of diehard, you know, saying heads that I know watch basketball because we love it, right, know that the Pacers need a little bit more energy. They need a little bit, you know what I'm saying, better. They need a closer. You know what I'm saying? Because they're always, I mean, my goodness, though they're 11 games out from being 500, they're always in most of the games. There hasn't been really a game that got blown out that I can think of. There has been some blowouts, but there hasn't been really any, 85%, I would say 85% of the games they're in. And it comes down to the fourth quarter, and then everything kind of just falls apart because they don't have a closer, and maybe the other team has a superstar that can get the job done. The last Monday's game among King Day, that's a shame on them. You have no Paul George playing. You have no Kawhi Leonard playing. It's a road game. You let Batum go off on you? I didn't even know he was still in the league.
You know what I'm saying? Reggie Jackson
looked like he was back at Oklahoma. You know what I mean? So the kind of dominance they said they scored 130. The Pacers gave up 139. They scored 133. So that's great. They know how this team can score. They share the ball. That's not a problem. The problem is they don't play together. They don't play with enough oomph to get the job done. They don't. They need to play with the lead, but they need to double the lead more than 10. Because I've seen it when they played Brooklyn, when they played Golden State, right there they would be up, you know what I'm saying, 15, 10, 17 points, and within minutes that lead would turn to 6. And by the fourth quarter, they would lose by 10. So those are the frustrating thing, and to mount it, that Herb Simon is like, you know, it is what it is. He kind of looked at the Pacers damn near like shame on him. And what I'm going to say, how he looked at the status of Lafayette Square. If anybody knows who lives here, knows what Lafayette Square used to look like, you know what I'm saying, 20 years ago versus what it looks like now, you know what I'm saying, and it pales in comparison. Well, he seems like a landlord that doesn't really care about
yep.
what's going on with his team. That's what he seems like. And there's a lot of great stories between Sabonis and Miles Turner. I mean, some bad stories too. LeVert, you know, he came back from battling a disease that threatened his life. You know what I'm saying? Brogdon is great in the community. You know what I'm saying? We got a superstar rookie in Duarte. But, again, all those are great, fine stories off the court. But when you put the product on the court, it's just not clicking. It's not working. We fired three coaches, you know what I'm saying, the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know what I'm saying, they brought in Carlisle to try to, I mean, I don't know if they thought he was going to, if anybody thought this, that he's going to be a saver to be the one to fix it. But they didn't really do any tinkering with the roster other than bringing in Duarte, right, as a rookie. So, it is frustrating because this is the land of basketball. Indiana is the land of basketball. You know what I'm saying? I know in the next segment we're going to wild out about Purdue and IU and Ball State and Butler too, right, because this is the basketball hotbed, and that's college. But it really does suck after the cold season is over. Unfortunately, it was done, you know what I'm saying, no playoff, deep playoff run, and essentially the Pacers season is over right now. And then, hell, as soon as the Colts lost – against Jacksonville, the local news media here will start talking about the damn race. What shit, Brandon? The race don't start till May, right? Yeah. So there's no talking about the Pacers and like how they are in the fight for fourth or fifth in the playoff race or anything like that. And that's frustrating from a local standpoint. That's frustrating because, like I said, this is the land of basketball. This is the land of Bobby Knight. This is the land of Flick Winter. This is the land of Reggie Miller. This is the land of, you know what I'm saying, you name it, what great, you know what I'm saying, hell, even Robbie Hummel. I'm just saying, great basketball. I had to put a Purdue guy in there somewhere, Brandon. Sorry. But, you know what I'm saying, I had to make Bonzi for Ball State. Anybody listen from Muncie. But it's the land of basketball. You know what I'm saying? And whether it's pro or college or whatever, man, you know what I'm saying? People still expect the Pacers. They might not – again, we get it. you're not bringing in Kevin Durant. You're not even going to have an audience with LeBron James. You're not even going to have an audience with, you know what I'm saying, Kawhi Leonard or whatever super free agent is on the market. But we all, but they expect a great, a good, a better than average to good team to be out there. And right now, they not even C minus. And that puts them in the D category. It's not a failure. It's not. It's not a failure. Failure is, you know me for failure. That's the Orlando Magic. That's somebody just going to draft rookies and then keep on in and out, and they don't care down there. Or Houston, they don't care down there. You know what I'm saying? Seemingly, they don't care right now. Here, the Pacers care, or should, or they did. But when you put a lot of those things, like potentially, you know what I'm saying, older owner, potentially handing down the franchise, and then younger owner not necessarily bought into keeping the franchise here in Indianapolis, and then you have other cities that are hungry for a team, so because they want to fill, you know what I'm saying, you know, to build up their downtown areas, to build up, you know what I'm saying, it kind of gives you a pause. And then we didn't do the due diligence to, you know, there's not a deal. So the Pacers, only way you can listen to the Pacers, I said, listen, the only way you can, I mean, you know, and that's like the 1940 way of listening, of consuming basketball. I listen to it on the radio. You know what I'm saying? So unless you got Fox Valley Sports or whatever, you know what I'm saying, you can't watch it. You know what I mean? Even then, that's kind of questionable what they did to him the Monday. They cut the game off before it was even over.
They put the North Carolina Tar Heels pre-show on, weekly show. Who the hell is going to watch that here?
So in the age of digital streaming, you know what I'm saying, why isn't there some type of way, and that's how millennials – down, you know what I'm saying, access things. Why isn't there some way you can watch the Pacer game? You know what I'm saying? Either for a fee or whatever, you know what I'm saying? People don't, I mean, again, they built up the whole downtown area for the Pacers and the Colts.
Right.
Brandon, you know I'm about to snap. Taxpayer money, whether you live here or not, and be in chair for the Bulls or not, if you're a taxpayer in Indianapolis, you pay for the Pacers, and you just do. So again, man, that's the frustrating part when you peel back that curtain and understand that they're not doing what they're doing with your taxpayer dollars. They're not trying to win, you know. So again, I know you're gonna go into it here in a second. Trade rumors are abound. Miles Turner, I know his foot is hurt, but again, he's on the block. Sabonis, he's on the block. So, you know, you're selling off now. You're going to punt because you got to on the season. But what did you do in the off season to make the team better? And that would be nothing.
Yeah. So looking ahead, these are all rumors. Take them as you wish. Pacers are seeking 2 first-round picks or a promising young talent and 1 first-round pick in exchange for Miles Turner. I think that is possible, depending on what the team. But the problem is with him hurt, he's getting reevaluated in 2 weeks. If he's not okay, he's still going to be out. He's not going to be dealt before the trade deadline. And with that, you're going to look at mainly if you're going to deal him, it'll be into the off season, probably before the draft or draft day trade. With Miles, unless a team decides, hey, we're going to take a chance. Coming off the stress fracture and giving us a playoff run. So we'll see what happens. I think with the Pacers looking at that now and saying, hey, damn, with him out possibly past the trade deadline, they're not going to be able to trade him. There's other rumors now about the month of Sabonis. There was talk about Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox from the Kings in a possible deal, but the Kings have came out in the last hour and said, we're not trading De'Aaron Fox whatsoever. So they want to build around him. So you can go ahead and cut that. There's been talk now that the Wizards and Bradley Beal are interested in getting Domantas Sabonis. You can tell the Pacers now are trying to shop Sabonis to see, hey, what can we get out of him now since we can't really get Miles because of this injury? Just to kind of see what you can get there with Sabonis. The laughable one for me is the fact that the Pacers are also seeking a first-round pick and a good young player for Caris LeVert. Are you crazy? I don't even think anybody in their right mind would get that for Caris LeVert and his skills. He's digressed this year. I don't think you can get a young player. And we talked about on Twitter, I think, with Reggie Sykes, with these trades, is what are you calling good young player or promising young talent That trade I saw from the Dallas Mavericks was laughable, John, what they would offer.
Well, that trade from Dallas would bring in role players, guys who don't necessarily need the ball, guys who will know their role, guys who will play defense and also rebound and not be worried about, well, I didn't get seven shots tonight, Miles Turner, sorry, or going to argue with point guard and shooting guard because they missed them on a, you know what I'm saying, on a pick and roll. You know what I'm saying? I didn't lose my mind with the Dallas trade per se, but the Pacers would still have to need, you know what I'm saying, again, Miles Turner, as much as we criticize him, this dude needs to give you 9 points or he can give you 30 points. It just depends what night it can be, right? But again, as far as like fit, and I think that's what that particular trade rumor was about. It's about fit. Like, again, we have scores. Do we have too many scores? I think that particular trade is like, do we have too many scores? Just get me off the ledge here for a second, is the fact that if you trade for a lot of lottery picks, you better have a lot of veterans on your team to usher these young guys coming in, if that's what they want to do. Because then, Brandon, we're not talking about 1 year being out of playoffs. We're talking about at least 3 seasons being out of the playoffs. And you talk about attendance going down. Excitement could go up. That's a big calculated risk. Again, man, like, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about 18- or 19-year-old guy, lottery pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – the guys that are going to come out are first, like, y'all one and done. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's not – no. Again, I like – Habitronero. I know I've jacked up his name from Duke. I like him. The kid from Gonzaga who's real thin. Oh my God. He looks great. He looks like a great skill set at the center, but man, he looks like Sean Bradley damn near. He's so damn thin. You know what I mean? So again, those are Jaden Ivey, you know what I'm saying, up the road here at Purdue. So again, a great wing talent. Can probably play either position in the NBA, point guard, shooting guard, but again, still, just 2 more years, you know what I'm saying, you know, being really an impact player on the next level. You see what I'm saying? So I would love to have those guys, but again, Brandon, if you trade Sabonis out for anything that says lottery or anything that says lottery, just know that it's going to be another year of potentially, you know what I'm saying? Brandon, look up, how many wins does the Orlando Magic have right now? 7? And look how many lottery picks they got. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got nothing but lottery. They got nothing but lottery picks from Cole Anthony to Suggs to Mo Bamba to the kid from Michigan. Nothing but lottery picks. Nothing but lottery picks will get you 8 to 10 wins a year. I'm shocked that Houston's got more than 15 wins. I about fell out of my seat because I didn't think they're going to win more than 20. So I would just be careful. So again, I think there needs to be a change. But just remember that's why I'm kind of answering to you what you're saying. They're asking for a player plus because they know what they're sending back. You know, don't just put your hopes on the lottery unless you know the lottery's got Tim Duncan in it, unless you know the lottery's got Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James type of player. Yeah, yeah.
Tonight, Pacers at the Lakers, two teams that both need wins desperately. Lakers jump. They lost. They lost after a 37 point loss against Denver, and there was talk after the game that Frank Vogel was almost fired, and that there is a report that they're going to take it a game by game basis with Frank Vogel. Dan Patrick even said this morning, if you're going to fire him, just fire him. But they asked why he said that, and it's like, well, because they're not too sure of the rest of their staff. When Vogel was out, David Fitzdale took over head coach while he was out with COVID. Fitzdale went 1-4 in those 5 games.
Right.
So they don't trust – I don't think they even trust that other coaching staff if they were to get rid of Frank.
I think what's the other names? Mike Bibby, Fizdale, who hasn't necessarily coached at this level. He's coached a bunch of AAU teams in the California, Arizona area. And, you know, I'm not saying he don't know his stuff, but, like, you know what I'm saying, knowing your stuff and, you know what I'm saying, getting the big chair in the NBA versus what you did in the AAU circuit or high school circuit, that's leaps and bounds, you know what I'm saying, different. I'm not into that Fizdale. I'm not that believer in his coaching ability. Obviously, I'm a homer. I love Frank Vogel. I do. I think Larry Bird made one of the biggest mistakes of his life.
What's your thoughts on my theory that at the end of this season, Carlisle doesn't want to go through a rebuild, but he likes it here, so he goes into the front office, and we bring Frank back when he's fired.
I'm with it. That's like a lot of dominoes and pinball. You know what I'm saying? They got to fall.
He fired tonight. The Pacers win. Frank might be fired.
They just resigned Frank Vogel in the offseason.
Yeah. What do they expect? They don't have Anthony Davis back. Street clothes ain't back yet. So,
unless LeBron, right? You're talking about Anthony Davis. Unless LeBron, here's the thing, man. We know Russell Westbrook has needs to play better, and he did play better against Utah the other night. That's why they won. LeBron has put up some crazy stats for year 19, 18 that he's in, right? You know what I'm saying? But he is 36 years old. I'm not giving that out that he's old or whatever. But again, you know what I'm saying? He can get his points, but him carrying the team, you know what I'm saying, against the likes of the Golden State Warriors, that team is not necessarily built correctly. They thought they would get more out of Anthony Davis. That's just the truth. So a lot of fingers to point. I know it sounds like I'm a LeBron apologist, but LeBron just, you know what I'm saying, trade him. This is not Cleveland where he did do that and traded everybody. This ain't when he just first showed up in L.A. and then it was like Ball got to go, Ingram got to go. Because guess what? Everybody does that trade 10 times out of 10 times, 9 out of 10 times to get Anthony Davis to come in. Anthony Davis did not take the next step to become the heir apparent. He has not. You know what I'm saying? He's often injured. Even when they won a championship, he's been often injured. And here we are. LeBron, in his latter years, has to lead a team to the right now. There, and I get it. Somebody got to take the blame. You can't blame the players. You can't blame health. So you got to blame the coach. The Lakers are eighth in the playoff hunt right now. If they had to play the playoffs right now, they play Phoenix, they probably get swept by Phoenix because Phoenix is that darn good. But Phoenix is that darn good because of what they have besides Chris Paul and Booker. My goodness, who put this team together besides, I mean, you know, the Lakers got money to print off. They do. Why did you bring in Wayne Ellington? Can you believe Wayne Ellington? You remember Wayne Ellington when he played for Dean Smith, I thought. That's how old he is. You know what I'm saying? And again, why did you bring in you let Caruso go for the cheap? Because you brought in Malik Monk. Malik Monk has played better, but you could have had them both. You see what I'm saying? So there was some other role player type pieces that the Lakers, and I get it, everybody thinks LeBron has a say and whatnot. He does, and who comes to play. But you know what I'm saying? Again, the Lakers didn't want to fool with that salary tax or whatever. And so they went cheap at some other pieces. Did DeAndre Jordan? Come on, man. They didn't play him in Brooklyn for a reason. He was a liability. So why are you bringing him back? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Only that general manager knows, right? So I'm sure the GM manager acquiesces to ownership. I'm sure the GM manager acquiesces to LeBron. But, again, you got to know that Wayne Ellington, DeAndre Jordan, they are way past their prime, way long in the tooth. And you need better they need better defensive help. But you know what I'm saying? You got advanced. Oh my goodness! You got also advanced age Carmelo, who can get it done on the offensive side. But again, you got to stop the other team from scoring too at some point. And that's right now. That's what the Lakers are struggling at. So people are gonna point their fingers at Frank Vogel because what toys did you give me to stop to play defensive to play my system? Anthony Davis, like you said, street clothes is not out. Anthony Davis is a rim protector, shot blocker, great offensive rebounder. How can you be a great defense if we don't have that? Go ahead.
And you bring in, like, Avery Bradley into the game? Like, come on now. Avery Bradley,
Again, like, another guy who's probably past his prime. You know what I'm saying? Avery Bradley ain't been that guy since the big time. Him and Isaiah Thomas was in Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, it's just – I don't know what they're going to have to do.
They fire Frank Vogel, they go from 8 to 12, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They go from 8 to 12.
The Rockets want a franchise player to team up with Jalen Green. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it right now. They're looking to make trades still. The Celtics are looking to trade Al Horford. Al Horford could be getting traded from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Just got him back.
John,
what's your thoughts? I didn't have it written down, but I want to talk about it for a minute. He's been back for a week or so now. What's your thoughts with Klay Thompson back with the Warriors and what you've seen so far?
He's a little rusty. You know what I'm saying? He got a lot of shit. The first night, man, he played 20 minutes. He got like 18 shots up. So that's like damn a shot per minute, you know? But no, man, if anybody thought it was going to be vintage Klay 2018, 2019 Klay Thompson, you know what I'm saying? You got a guy coming off ACL tear. You know what I'm saying? And two different knees or the same knee. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't happen. They just kind of done their due diligence to keep on winning. They have taken some – they took a loss against – I forget who they lost against. There's a game they shouldn't have lost against. But I think they're fine. They're still number two out west. I think – what's his name? Steph. Steph, after that – remember he was chasing that three-point – that three-point record or whatever, he put up a lot of shots. I mean, I think he was forcing right. He was forcing a lot. So I think they're a team that's just trying to basically just get to the All-Star break, rest up, and then make a great playoff, another playoff push to either try to overcome, finish for number one, or settle into number two. They could. They have enough young pieces, right, because they also are rumored in that Sabonis trade, you know what I'm saying, where they could potentially send Kuminga, Moses Moody, and another throw in. Maybe I don't think it's going to be Wiseman. The Pacers don't want Wiseman. I'm going to tell you right now, Wiseman went to Memphis. Wiseman was handpicked by Penny Hardaway. Wiseman is just a name. Wiseman can't get on the floor and stay healthy. So why would the Pacers want to have that? You know what I'm saying? There's some funkiness going on with Sabonis and Miles Turner. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing about Wiseman excites me. It doesn't. But when you talk about Kuminga,
that's the only thing that excites me.
What's that now?
I said, you say Anthony Wiseman. Wiseman doesn't excite you, but I said the only thing that excites me is Wiseman Logistics.
right. Put another commercial time in there. But no, man. But like Kuminga, Moses Moody, and maybe another piece for Sabonis, and then away they go. The Golden State Warriors are probably, you know, since we're getting to be favored. Because right now, they play defensively great on the wings and perimeter. I think they're like top two as far as team defense. But what are they going to do if they have to face Ayton, the matchup? You know what I'm saying? DeAndre, you know what I'm saying? Ayton in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? We know what they can do firepower from perimeter, from Steph versus CP3 and Booker versus Klay Thompson and Steph. But, you know what I'm saying? They're kind of like a donut hole. They're kind of like a donut. And Draymond Green, he thinks he's the greatest defensive player online. He can't. I don't think he can hold down DeAndre Ayton. So that's the team that could potentially make a trade for Sabonis. You know what I'm saying? It just depends like what they want to part ways with on the return. So I like what I saw out of Klay. I just know that they're just trying to bring him in. You know what I'm saying? Just slowly but surely, and then I think they'll ramp up his minutes as we get in March and April.
Okay. Flipping over to the college basketball hardwood, John, Purdue in Indiana, they play this Thursday, tomorrow night at Indiana. Boilers, 2.5-point favorites at Indiana. Boilers up to number 4 in the country. Two and a half, John. That's about what I expected it to be. You look at this game, Purdue had a huge win in double overtime at Illinois the other day, on Martin Luther King Day. IU had a win against Nebraska, which you could have seen this team losing to Nebraska, but poor Nebraska. They don't have football. They have a football coach that's getting ran out of town. They got a former NBA player as their head coach for their basketball team. Their last place in the Big
Mayor.
Ten. It is trouble out there for them. But Boilermakers heading into there. Oh, man. It's as I told somebody the other day, IU needs this game more than Purdue does.
Absolutely, man. Purdue, like you said, you went down to win.
The AirPod did not exist. The last time the Hoosiers beat Purdue,
oh, wow.
There's a list of like 15 things that have never existed in the last time they beat them.
What you like? The reason why I think the line, I'm like, the reason why the line is probably so low. You said, hold on.
Yep, hold on. We've got. Let me. Breaking news. We got breaking news from the NFL. John, it's been reported that if it's offered, if Las Vegas Raiders offer the position, which is likely, that Jim Harbaugh will take the head coaching position of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
So, report from Pro Football Talk is Jim Harbaugh will likely take the Raiders head coaching job, if it is offered to him, that he will take that job.
Jimmy, stay in Michigan. They need you more than the Raiders need you. I know Jimmy ain't listening to the show, but if in this case he is, Jim Harbaugh, Captain Comeback, Michigan needs you. You need to go out there and get Caleb Williams to be your quarterback, and then you're right back into the top four. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You're right back. I know next year's going to be hard to beat Ohio State. I know next year's going to be even harder to beat Penn State, what they got, what most of those teams got coming in. But do not run away from what you set out here to do, man. Jim Harbaugh set out to win a national championship game. You got to, like, I know it's hard to beat Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying? I know it's hard, you know what I'm saying, to compete with the Clemsons of the world and Georgias of the world, you know what I'm saying? But all you need is, you really, realistically, Brandon, I know we'll get back to the college basketball here in a second. Doesn't Michigan really just need a quarterback? Somebody who can throw it, you know what I'm saying, throw guys open. You know what I mean? Didn't you expect Jim Harbaugh to be that guy, to be that quarterback whisperer, and he hasn't had that since he's been in Michigan? I don't know. That's just my opinion on it.
They've already got on Twitter the pictures of him in Raiders gear on the sidelines. Oh, boy, this is something. If he gets offered it, if the Raiders want it, they can go get it. I think they should stick with the coach they have. I think he did a great job. Hell, he wrote thank you letters to every single one of his players after the wild card game. Handwritten. My hand would be dead.
Well, you know, it's the Raiders. It's Las Vegas. It's Las Vegas this year. Who knows? They might even move back to L.A. in 3 years. But they want to make a big splash, so it kind of makes sense for them to go after Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh had some great success in San Francisco, great success, like I said, last week at Stanford, great success in San Diego State. He knows that particular side of the world. I can see them making a huge offer to Jim Harbaugh. Hell, they gave John Gruden $100 million, and he was in the general manager wasn't even charged. He was so what are they going so what's Jim Harbaugh's price?
Yeah.
He and you know what I'm saying, Ted DiBiase's music. What's Jim Harbaugh's price to leave Michigan, a Michigan school that he took a pay cut this year? You know what I'm saying, to go out there and coach. So I don't think he has hard feelings against Michigan, you know what I'm saying, given some of the shortcomings they had year after year that he's been there. But if the Raiders offer him 90, let's say $95 to $90 million to come be their head coach, he's out of there.
Yep. Okay. Back to the IU, as you were saying, as we have the Hoosiers and Boilermakers tomorrow.
So, like, no, man, in order for IU to be – I mean, IU has had some great wins. They had some letdown. They let down on Iowa versus Iowa. Was perplexing, but surprised they beat Ohio State. They picked up a win against Nebraska, a road win against Nebraska. I think it was hard fought. You know what I'm saying? That's the best Nebraska has played all season. But against Purdue, man, IU has to be more than just Trace Jackson Davis. When you look at the stat lines, offensive stat lines, and you know what I'm saying, and the defenses efficiency, what Purdue brings to the table, Zach Edey has taken the next step. Like, Brandon, in 2 years' time, I think we might even be talking about Zach Edey going to the NBA. I'm not saying, like, lottery pick, but I'm saying he's taking the step in that direction. But, like, offensive efficiency, like, they all get a piece. It ain't just Jaden Ivey. It ain't just Trevion Williams. It ain't just Zach Edey. Everybody gets a piece. You know what I'm saying? Sasha gets into the flow of things. I don't know if IU – outside of Trace Jackson Davis, I think he averages, like, 20 or 19.5, something like that. We just round it up to 20. It's a big dip because then Race Thompson comes in and gives you 10. And then there's a big dip to like 9 and 7 and like, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of guys that average 4 and 5 points a game. Defensively, IU is better underneath Mike Woodson than they were against Archie Miller. Sometimes they forget who they really are. They play better through Trace Jackson Davis. I expect him to have a great game if they play through him. IU's got to speed up the game and turn and make the boys turn the ball over. They can't out rebound them. They can't out physical them. You know what I'm saying? But they can't out shoot them. We know they can't out shoot them. We saw at the Hoosier Classic what the guards are capable of, man. And I think me and you, even me in my overweight self at 190, can out shoot the IU guards. On a given night. But like, with that being said, they've got to be more than just Trace Jackson Davis, and they got to try to not turn the ball over themselves, but at the same time, making the Boilers, you know what I'm saying, get sloppy on offense. That's the tall order. That is a very tall order. They do not have the front line to match up against Zach Edey and Trevion Williams. And they don't have the great guard play to match up against Sasha and Jaden Ivey. So, of course, you know, I think it's like 13 times since they played. You say since the AirPods have been invented. They haven't beat the Hoosiers in 13 tries. I mean, I'm sorry, IU hasn't beat the Boilers in 13 tries. I think it's going to be continues to be like that. I expect a better effort, but I don't know why. That line is crazy. Again, 2 points, there's no way. I think Purdue handles the business probably going to be more like 20.
Right. I think it's, I don't know, we'll see. John, I've been saying it for the last year, so now it's time for the Butler to get a new head coach. It's time for Lavelle Jordan to move on. I heard today our buddy JMV even said it's time to move on from Jordan at Butler. They've just fallen
it's
flat
weird.
On their face.
Yeah, it's weird, Brandon. They can go on a road and get a victory like they put up against Georgetown, or go on a road and get a victory like they put up against Oklahoma. Right, some two name programs, right? But then, like, look like totally different against Seton Hall and UConn. They get a UConn again tomorrow night, but look totally different against Seton Hall and Villanova. Like, dude, where's the offense? And we know, I get it. They got blasted themselves against Purdue at the Hoosier Classic. You and I were there, but that's just like who I could think. Purdue was, you know, saying they're on a mission. I think. My mean person. I got Purdue as being in top four. Right, if everything stopped right now, they could get to the Final Four. I think they're that good, right? But Butler has always been that team that can at least, like, you know, saying tweak out more than just one or two wins. You know what I'm saying, against somebody, a program that's a little bit better than them. And like, dude, it's not happening anymore. The connectivity that they had. And it's not about, you know what I'm saying, what Brad did or Todd Licklider or anybody else, you know what I'm saying, in the past who's just been able to have some success at Butler. They might just need a new voice. I like LaVal Jordan. I like what he did, transitioned when he came in over and the Butler took over. But I don't think he necessarily has the ponies to get the job done, to continuously compete in the Big East. Because they ain't leaving. I beat the drum. They need to leave the Big East because I think sometimes that league might be a little bit competitive, too competitive for them. I know you're not necessarily supposed to run away from competition, but unless you're recruiting the same level of guys to compete against the Villanovas and the UConns of the world, or, you know what I'm saying, that league, then you're going to always fall back flat. So they need some recruitings. And in order to get that, they might have to get a different voice and to get said recruits.
Looking at the top 10, John, Gonzaga right now is your number one. Duke had a tough loss last night at Florida State. You don't even get your best player at all on the last possession. Makes zero sense to me. I think, John, I don't even think the true number one team right now is ranked that should be, in my personal opinion. And to me, that's Auburn, John. Auburn is really, really good. Nobody expected them to be who they are. I think they should honestly be the true number one team in the country. I don't know why they're not.
Well, that's because Gonzaga's like number one in points scored. Like they have that much offensive efficiency. They also like share the ball at like number two or number one in assists per game. Plus, you know, they got a handful of lottery picks. at some point that's going to come off that team. So that's why – I'm not saying Auburn don't have guys probably going to play the next level either. You know what I mean? When I think about the top five teams, if you could rearrange them, you know what I'm saying, you could definitely put Auburn number one. I haven't seen enough of Auburn just yet to go out there on that limb. I have watched Gonzaga. I like them. I like Baylor just a little bit more. Even with the two losses, I like Baylor just a little bit more because once they get into the tournament, they're going to have a been there, done that type of deal with them. You know what I'm saying? I do like Purdue. Purdue just has to, like, don't shrink in the moment. You know what I'm saying? They have an issue playing against athletic guards. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's Johnny Davis or Ron Harper Jr. You know what I'm saying? They let them kind of go off on them and then match that fire on the other end. But yeah, those are teams I like. But, I mean, I haven't necessarily seen the Duke swan song a whole lot of their games. I know they play a lot of cream cupcakes going into the ACC. And that might be, you know what I'm saying, something that, like, when they get pushed back. Because, like, last night's game against Florida State, that was a push. That's somebody who can stand up toe-to-toe with you at every position. You know what I mean? So, but outside of that, man, there's a lot of pretenders in the top 25, Brandon. I'm not a believer in Michigan State. Sorry if anybody in East Lansing is listening. I'm not necessarily a believer in Iowa State. And Villanova, Brandon, Villanova scored points against Baylor. I get it that they beat up on Butler a couple of weeks ago, but how am I supposed to take that for serious? They scored 36 points against Baylor, back in December. So again, there's a lot of decorative. Like I said, there's a lot of pretenders that I can't. And I like Nova, what they represented the last couple of seasons. You know what I'm saying? When they won the championship, but like right now, the top four teams I think in the country are the top. Arizona, Brandon. I know you were high on them. I don't know.
Damn. I am high on them.
But I do like Baylor. I do like Gonzaga. And I do like Purdue. Those are the teams that I think are the strongest right now, even with the losses that they've incurred. Those are the teams I like.
Okay. John, a couple of news and notes real quick. Stetson Bennett, it's been announced he's going back to Georgia next year. Stetson Bennett returning to Georgia. JT Daniels has entered the transfer portal. With Stetson Bennett going back, I guess that means Caleb Williams is not going there. Williams has taken his time. He's met with the people at Oklahoma. He's met with the people at USC. And apparently he's taken 10 to 12 different Zoom calls with other teams to see which spot better prepares himself for a national championship and the number one pick in the draft for 2024 is where he's looking. So that was straight from the article I read. So Stetson Bennett going back to Georgia, can they repeat with him as their quarterback, or was it a one and done with him as QB?
I got to see. They had a lot of underclassmen, so there's not going to be a whole lot of guys running to the NFL just yet for Georgia. I ain't going to bet against Alabama, never, not as far as the SEC is concerned. I think next year, it comes down to them too. You know what I'm saying? And because let's be honest, between Texas A&M and LSU, there's still a couple, two programs that's in a flux. They'll be there in the next two seasons to challenge for the SEC crown. But the SEC next year still comes down to Alabama and Georgia. So I wouldn't be surprised if they repeat being champions of the SEC. And if not, potentially champions of the whole damn thing.
Okay. John, it was 30 years ago today that this happened.
It's time to rumble! It's time for the Royal Rumble! With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life.
The greatest. Ric Flair wins the Royal Rumble 1992. The greatest Royal Rumble of all time, John. I had to rewatch it again today just for sentimental purposes. The Rumble's a couple weeks away, John. We got some interesting matchups. We have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. We got Lesnar against Lashley. We got the Rumble matches. I'm excited. It's WrestleMania season. We'll see what happens. I do think NXT is going to end up being absorbed by WWE. We talked about it off the air ourselves. But, man, it's Rumble season. Ric Flair, 92 Rumble stamp. It was good to good one to watch. Some old By the way, did you know Randy Savage eliminated himself in that thing, and he wasn't supposed to just yet, so they had Undertaker go out of the ring and put him back in, and they let him go.
Oh, wow.
Interesting moment there. Also, John, released today, I got to see the trailer for the part two season premiere.
Uh-oh.
I saw the trailer today, John. Oh, my. You might as well start the whistles over again because...
This is it. This is it.
No, boy. I didn't see Rick in the preview, but I saw some other stuff that's some head turners. So,
okay.
Interesting there on that part. Also, John, I do want to say I did pick up a book on Monday, The Blood Garden, the history of the 1990s New York Knicks, the fragrant history of the New York Knicks in the 1990s by Chris Herring of the NBA. Chris Herring actually wrote back on Twitter. You know, I put it out there. He tweeted back and everything with it. So far in chapter two, and my God, this book, even if you're not a Knicks fan, which, you know, hey, as an Indiana Pacers fan, you knew the New York Knicks history throughout that entire 90s.
I gotta watch you, man, because you went to New York, and I think you almost fell in love with the Knicks. Yeah, I seen what you posted on your IG. Anybody follows Brandon on IG, he posted a little clip of the Knicks. And like I said, I think Brandon is kind of – and then now you're reading a Knicks book, man. I think you fall in love with the Knicks, man.
I'm not against saying they're a better team to watch right now than the Indiana Pacers. They're at least entertaining. And they've got – John, they've got two-thirds.
I know. He's coming. Don't worry about it. They got Cam Reddish. They got R.J. Barrett. He's coming. Zion Williamson. Like, dude, you got to listen to what these guys – he said it last year. He would love to play for the Knicks.
Yeah. All right, I'm back. I don't know what the hell happened. Everything got dropped.
Uh-oh. That crazy SEC talk, man. They on the
something,
show, bro.
Something. Sorry, we lost the Facebook Live feed, but everything went. So I'm on my phone now because of the craziness. But hey, listen, they got 2/3 of the players from Durham there. If they get Zion there, and this Pacer team keeps playing like shit, you best believe
I
might start cheering for the Knicks a little bit more. I love the Mecca. I love the atmosphere. I love the entertainment. I told you the in-game, the intros, all that. I'll be sitting next to Spike and Billy Crystal and all of them down there.
I suppose, man. I'm not gonna hold it against you.
Who doesn't love themselves in Kimba? I like watching them. Hell, I watched them last night against the T-Wolves. It was a bad ending. Bad way to end that ball game. But my God,
Yeah, Kimba, Derrick Rose, a coach that gives a damn. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I can see why it's not. I mean, they're kind of. I think they're like seventh. I think they're seventh right now in the NBA in the NBA conference standing. It's a little disappointing. I thought they would get out in front of it and be. It's amazing. Brandon Cleveland is like fourth. In the East, can you believe it? Stephen Clavalier and LeBron James ain't playing for him. You know what I mean? That's crazy. So I think the Eastern Conference is a little bit more competitive than people kind of thought going into the season, man. But like I said, Cleveland being fourth and the Knicks, fighting for a 6-7 spot.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know the Knicks. Hey, at least they're trying to put a competitive team out there. They're trying to put effort out there. And they have an owner the owner may be an asshole, but the GM and them are doing that out there. Hey, and they got our boy out there. What's his name? West.
Cam Reddish?
No, West. What's Hollywood West or what was his name?
Worldwide West. Yeah, Worldwide
West.
Worldwide West.
He's up there working. So, yeah, exactly. So you know what? Hey, I'm reading this book, But Blood in the Garden. It's good. I like it. Doesn't mean I'm not still a Pacer fan, but hey, New York Knicks 90s, if you're a Pacer fan, you had to watch it, and we'll see what happens, you know? If Pacers don't put a better product on the team, like I said, I got some of my fandom. If they don't start turning around.
Oh, man. We had to get you a Mark Jackson Nick jersey when you play for the Knicks. We had to get you number 13 jersey.
Hell, I'll go down to Dallas. I need to. I'll go to a Western Conference team. Go to Luka. At least they're going to put down there with Cuban.
Stop it.
So
you're not
we'll
going
see.
Right through me, the IU graduate. You can't do that.
Brian Cardinal. He was played down there.
He did.
I just saw him at on the retirement ceremony for Dirk Nowitzki, and that's how you do a retirement ceremony, by the way. That was something else. I don't know if you saw
it. I shared some of that on social media, man. So hopefully people kind of check that out if you don't already follow Dallas Mavericks on Instagram. But yeah, it was a great ceremony. He was out there with his wife and his kid. And yeah, got to hang his number in the rafters. Dirk Nowitzki is an all time great, for darn sure.
Yeah, for sure. John, I don't have anything else on my list, so I'll let you do your P's and Q's and then wrap us up.
Well, unfortunately, we lost the live feed. I wanted to thank all the folks that chimed in, from Justin to Mike Kelly to Tamika to Craig Ryan, super fan of the Green Bay Packers. D-Cott said he was supposed to call in. He didn't call in. Still looking for Reggie to call in, but he's probably at work. You know what I'm saying? Right now, it's all good. But, like, yeah, we had a lot of folks chiming in on the live chat. If you you know what I'm saying, if you listen to my voice, man, you should be on live chat too, or you should call in. Everybody should know the number by now. It's 929-477-3231. Can't call in now because the show's getting ready, show's over. So try next for sure. Try next week. Follow us on our Instagram. Before I leave, I gotta say thank you also to our sponsors, Wiseman Logistics,
yes,
Mavericks Custom Motorsports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. How can we do this show without their support? Outside of that, coming in the next couple of weeks, we got a lot of great guests coming. We'll be chopping up with from Ball State and parts in between, and professional wrestlers, and all those things. All, you know what I'm saying? Things, people we've had on before, and people, associates, new associates, right? That we'll be having. I'm excited. I'm so excited, Brandon. I'm tongue tied. I'm so excited about what the folks that we'll be bringing on in the next couple of weeks or so. We'll also be, you know what I'm saying, hitting up a couple. Crossroads Sports got media credentials. Go to IPY. We interviewed Coach Crenshaw last year. We interviewed him. IPY reached out and said, you know what I'm saying, about some media credentials. Come check out a couple games, home games, and you know what I'm saying, they're building a program. They're a program in flux right now. You know what I'm saying. Tough, you know what I'm saying, 1-15 right now. I know, like, why are you wasting your time? But, like, dude, we support those who support us, man. Indianapolis, that's the team that's on the rise. Like I said, we'll be checking them out as well, live from some sidelines. We'll be checking them out as well coming in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that. Brandon's got a book report that's due next week. We got to learn more about this Nick book that he's reading. I'm going to tie it up. I'm going to wrap it up right now and say thanks.
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead.
John, I actually watched the first three episodes of Peacemaker. I got to know, what's your thoughts on this with John Cena?
Man, he finally found something that he can, that he's going to be great at, man. I know he's, you know what I'm saying, put his big toe in, like The Rock, like Batista, becoming an actor and transitioning from being a wrestler to being an actor. Some things have kind of been just okay for him. I think
there's a lot of A-list people in this.
Yeah, this is going to be a success. This looks like a success for him, and it's tailored for him to win. I like the show. It's a superhero show. It's not necessarily for kids at all.
Right.
given the language and the graphic nudity that's prevalent. I like the hairband metal. If everybody thinks that I just like hip-hop music, you know what I'm saying, you're wrong. I like the hairband metal play, you know what I'm saying, with the show. But, like, no, man, I think it's a good show, and like I said, Cena's doing a good job in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually liked it, and that's something for me to actually like that one. So that one looks good. This other Marvel Moon something I saw a preview for. And
Moon Knight
was,
comes out in March.
I don't know what the hell's going on with that one. That one confused me.
Go ahead.
I got to give a shout-out, Bob Saget. Him passing away
Absolutely. Obviously, TV Dad, America's Funny Studios, Full House, comedy. Me and Lindsay, my fiance, we just saw him a couple of months ago down here in Indianapolis for a comedy show. And it was hilarious. It was great. Just total shock with seeing him pass last week. So that was that one. That one hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. We get up, we all get up in that advanced age, man, and some of the legends are leaving us. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you were able to see him. I caught some of his. I know we're pressing up against time. I caught some of his stand up. And his stand-up and does not necessarily reflect his good guy daddy image, but it's funny.
No.
It's not super raunchy or racist or anything like that, but it's funny though. And like anybody, if you just know Bob Saget from America's Funniest Videos and or from the show Full House, you're not doing yourself a disservice. This dude was a great entertainer, great stand-up comedian. I implore you, just put his name in YouTube and put up stand-up and check him out. He's funny as hell.
Yep, absolutely. All right, John, I'll let you wrap us, my man. Back to you.
Like I said, man, I'm super excited what we have coming on, folks we have coming on in the next couple of weeks, man. With that being said, I want to say thank you for everybody for listening. Thanks to Roddy, you know what I'm saying, for chatting up with
guys
us.
Guys are idiots.
We'll be back next week.
Guys are idiots. And Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.